Part 4. Delayed Exits from Chapter 11. Julianne Lopez-Toledo reports about W.R. Grace & Company, whose emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. A three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit issued two opinions on September 4th, dismissing the objections raised by the State of Montana, Her Majesty, the Queen in Right of Canada, the Crown, and Anderson Memorial Hospital to Grace's confirmed Chapter 11 plan of reorganization. The Third Circuit backed a Delaware federal court's decision to affirm the bankruptcy court's order, overruling the objections raised by the State of Montana and the Canadian government. The panel said that the plan sufficiently covers their asbestos liabilities claims. W.R. Grace, which has been in bankruptcy since 2001, had the reorganization plan confirmed by the bankruptcy court and affirmed by the district court. The company, however, remains in bankruptcy because several parties in interest appealed from the confirmation and affirmation orders, complaining the plan prejudices their rights. Among those who filed appeals were the State of Montana, where Grace's former vermiculite mine is located, and the Crown. The State of Montana and the Canadian government seek contribution and indemnification from the debtors for claims filed by victims of exposure to asbestos-containing products produced by the debtors. And, in the case of the State of Montana, claims filed by victims of exposure to asbestos mined at the debtors' vermiculite mine in Libby, Montana. As a result of Grace's production of asbestos-containing materials, Montana and the Crown have been subject to asbestos-related lawsuits due to their alleged failure to warn their citizens of the risks posed by Grace's products and activities. Montana and the Crown contend that their particular requests for contribution and indemnification somehow fall outside of the channeling injunction scope. They say that their requests cannot be considered claims because claims for contribution and indemnification do not technically arise until a judgment or settlement has been paid, and at the time of Grace's bankruptcy petition, no such judgments had been entered against either Montana or the Crown. Their requests are also not demands, they explain, because those requests are not personal injury, wrongful death, or property damage claims, and thus they cannot, quote, arise out of the same or similar conduct as the claim subject to the injunction. On the issue of claims, the Third Circuit held that a claim can exist, quote, before a right of payment exists under the state law. Regardless of when Montana and the Crown may have had judgments entered against them, the material fact is that Grace's asbestos-related activities underlie any rights to indemnification and contribution that they can assert, the Third Circuit ruled. Grace's relevant activities all occurred long before its bankruptcy filing, and thus, to the extent that Montana and the Crown have claims, those claims arose before confirmation of the joint plan, the Third Circuit added. With regards to the issue of demands, the Third Circuit also ruled that Montana and the Crown's argument also fails. The Third Circuit held that although they claim that requests for contribution and indemnification do not arise from the same conduct as personal injury or property damage claims, that argument ignores the underlying basis for such requests, Grace's alleged asbestos liability. Any action that Montana and the Crown say they have against Grace arises from the same events as do all the other claims and demands covered by the channeling injunction, namely Grace's production of asbestos-containing materials, the Third Circuit pointed out. Therefore, if Montana and the Crown have requests for payment that were not claims during the bankruptcy proceeding, those requests would meet the definition of demand in Section 524G, the Third Circuit ruled. The Third Circuit also junked AMH's appeal from orders confirming the plan of Grace. AMH, which first filed suit against Grace and its affiliates in South Carolina State Court in 1992, seeking class-wide redress for property damage caused by asbestos-containing products that Grace had manufactured, argued in its appeal that A, the plan does not meet the requirement of Section 524G of the Bankruptcy Code, B, the plan fails to provide equal treatment pursuant to Section 1123A4, C, Grace has not shown that the plan was proposed in good faith pursuant to Section 1129A3, and D, Grace has not shown that the plan is feasible pursuant to Section 1129A11. The Third Circuit affirmed the judgment of the District Court. The Third Circuit explained that Section 524G explicitly states that the asbestos trusts can cover property damage, so an interpretation that makes those trusts impossible cannot be consistent with congressional intent. Furthermore, as the bankruptcy court demonstrated, AMH's, quote, mutual exclusivity theory would effectively read the category of present demands out of the statute, the Third Circuit pointed out. For these reasons, the Third Circuit affirmed the district court's conclusion that because, one, it still remains unknown and may never be ascertained how many entities and individuals were affected by these products, the precise quantity of asbestos-laden products that were sold, which buildings the products were used in, and how much was used per building, or the percentage of these entities that have successfully removed the asbestos products from their buildings, there remains a significant chance that future property damage claims will be asserted against Grace by property damage claimants. The Third Circuit further ruled that in this case, Grace has demonstrated that the plan is fair, and AMH has provided no real argument that the plan was not, quote, proposed with honesty and good intentions and with a basis for expecting that reorganization can be effected. In July, the Third Circuit denied Garlock Sealing Technology LLC's appeal from W.R. Grace's plan, holding that Garlock lacked standing to block the reorganization plan, rejecting Garlock's contention that it would be injured by the plan. In the last quarter of 2012, a group of claimants called the Libby claimants withdrew their appeal from the plan, following a settlement agreement with the debtors and other plan proponents. Grace, which has been in bankruptcy protection for an astounding 12 years, has projected to complete its reorganization by the end of this year. The Troubled Company Reporter provides detailing reporting about every Chapter 11 filing nationwide. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TCR at no cost or obligation. That concludes Part 4 of the report. The report concludes in Part 5.